Thank you. Why is it that things are not going the way it should? Why is it sometimes we see, you know, I think I was saying this last Sunday, that sometimes we see something. Have you ever seen something happens to someone and you say, you know what, I wish it was someone else? Why is it that people who are energetic for the Lord, Pastor and I was talking about a common friend of ours, and you all know him, you know, Pastor Paul Irabo. We were talking that day. I said, you know, Pastor said, why would that young man just go like that? Those are things that sometimes we ask the questions because we don't understand. We don't understand why there's so much suffering in the world, yet God is a loving God. Why is it that as a Christian, we do what we're supposed to do? We are obedient to the word of God. We come to prayer meetings. We will come to Bible study. We serve. I pay my tithe. I do all these things that is required for me to do. But yet, why am I struggling the way I'm struggling? Why? Many a times we don't have answers to it. That is why, you know, that's why God, you know, when we get to talk about God, God is such a mystery that it takes a revelation from him for you to be able to know who and what he's doing. Coming to church alone does not mean you know God. Because you have been in church all your life does not mean you have the proper knowledge of God. I've said it many times. Many people, all they have, the knowledge they have of God is what I call a providential knowledge of God. They know God as a God who can provide. Baby needs shoes. I need a job. Somebody is after me. But many of us, we don't know God the way we ought to. And because we don't know him the way we ought to, we could not relate with him the way we ought to relate. If you don't know me before, you can't relate with me. Amen. If I'm meeting pastor for the first time, the way we are going to talk and dialogue will be different from if I've known him for a while. Amen. But many of us, we don't know God, and because we don't know God, we don't know how he operates. So that's why we ask that question. Why do the righteous suffer? In the book of Job, last week, we began to lay the foundation of what Job went through. The Bible said Job, when you start from chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Watch this now. The Bible did not say he was a sinner. The Bible did not say he was unrighteous. But the Bible said four things about Job. He said, number one, he was perfect, he was upright, he feared God, and eschewed evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no definition of who a Christian is. He was perfect, he was upright, he feared God, eschewed evil. Meaning that he shunned everything that was evil. The Bible said every day he would go up and make sacrifices unto God. Yet, as perfect as Job was so perfect that God even had to give him a personal recommendation. If God were to give a recommendation about you, what will God say about you and I? If you were to go to God and say, God, they need a reference from you about me. God, what would God write about us? Bible said of Job, watch this, as we begin to teach on this. He said in verse 6, when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, Bible said Satan came also among them. Hello? He said Satan was among them. He now said, God asked Satan, where have you, where are you, where are you coming from? He said, God, you know, listen, I'm just going to and through. Praise the Lord. And that is why every day, you know, the pastor said it briefly. He said, what are you using your time to do? When you are too idle, you are too busy being a busybody. Amen. You know, that is when the devil will find something for you to do. He says, I'm going to and fro, going back and forth. And now God says something very profound. One of the most profound statements in the scriptures. God said, have you considered my servant Job? God was telling Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? God now repeated it again. He said, he was upright, perfect, he feared God, shunned evil. Amen. Well, Satan said, well, does Job fear you for nothing? You know, I'm not reteaching what we did last Sunday, but we need to lay the foundation so we can connect with where we're going today. Hey, Satan said, God, he's not fearing you because you are God. He's fearing you because, well, you know, you build a hedge around him. You gave him money, after all, because the Bible said in verse 1 that Job was one of the wealthiest men at that time. Amen, somebody. He had 10 children, so he had everything you could ask for in life. Hello? He had servants. But yet he feared God. Listen, no matter amount of riches or what that you have, you cannot let riches take you away from God. Hello, somebody. All right. Satan said, well, you increased him now. So in essence, Job is not living right because he really fears you as the sovereign God. He's doing it because of what you do for him. Amen. Satan told God, all right, give me a chance. Let me just touch him. And we'll see. The Bible said, in one day, watch this now, in one day, not 1 month, not in a year span, but in one day, everything Job had, he lost it. Hello? So imagine someone who was worth millions of dollars at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 6 p.m. at night, he was now zero. Well, at least you can say, well, after all, he can get the money back. But he had 10 children. In that one single day, all those 10 children died. Now, praise the Lord. This is not a sinner. Hello? Are you following this? He is not a sinner. He is not the kind of person that comes to church once a month. He's not the kind of person that doesn't pay his tithes regularly. He's not the kind that lives in bitterness with his brothers and sisters. He is a man, the Bible says he was perfect. He was upright. He feared God. He eschewed evil. But in one day, he lost everything. Why do the righteous suffer? But the Bible says something. In Job chapter 1, verse 20. I say, and Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground, and he began to cry, correct? Oh no, is that what I mean? You sure? Look at your Bible very well. He began to complain, God, where was your eyes? He began to say, God, after all, this is not fair now. Amba, God, listen. You know, I did what you told me to do. You know, why will you let this happen to me? He began to question God and complaining, right? You know, what did he do? You know, the Bible says he did what? He fell to the ground and he worshiped God. How many of us can worship God in tragedy? How many of us can say, God, I thank you, even when you hear the worst of news? Job. I would say, Job, watch this now. He worshiped God. He says, naked, I came from my mother's womb. Naked will I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible said, in all this, Job did not sin. God, did he charge God with foolishness too? That's where we ended last week. So I should pick it up in chapter 2. We're still this man, Job. The Bible said in verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, again, meaning that, okay, after all the stuff of that first day, the Bible said, again, the children of God came together. And who else was among them? Satan. I told you last week that, you know, Satan has access to the throne of God. That is why you as a Christian, you cannot take things easily. You cannot take things lightly. The moment there's a pronouncement over your life of what God wants to do, the moment God is saying it, there's a lot of people hearing it. You hearing it, guess who is hearing it too? The devil hearing it. That is why, when the moment, have you ever noticed, the moment you set out to do something positive in your life, that is when negative things happen. Amen. John Hagee, years ago, preached a sermon. He said, if God gives you a $1 million promise, expect a $1 million problem. Listen, if you are not going anywhere in life, the devil has nothing to do with you. Amen? The reason why the devil is challenging us and tormenting many of us is because he sees the future. And that is why you cannot give up. Even in spite of trials and tribulation, in spite of the opposition you are facing, you cannot give up. Why? Because a winner will never quit. Amen, somebody. So the Bible said, again. Again. Sons of God came to present themselves. Satan was among them again. Hello? The Bible said in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, where you come from?
No, I have nothing to do.
No, I just go to and fro. I look at Christians who say they are Christian, but they are not living a holy life. I look for people who don't have a prayer life. Someone to torment. I look for someone who has dipped their hand into sin, so I can just deal with them. Look at verse 3 now. Look at verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, as thou considered my servant Job, this is a very profound statement. Watch this now. And there's no like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still, this is not the Bible, in your Bible. He said, still, meaning that after everything you have done to him, hello, watch this, he still does what? He holds to his integrity. Now a statement that baffles me. It says, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. Okay. If it were you or I, and things happens to us, and God was just there watching, what would you say? Why me? As if it does have to be someone else. Why me, eh? So the Bible said, God was now telling Satan, I said, listen. You move me to go against him, to destroy him without cause. But yet, he still holds fast to his faith, to his integrity. He did not allow the troubles to shake him. He did not allow what he was going through to disturb him from where he was getting to. He did not allow what he was going through to make him lose his integrity, to make him lose his faith in me. He still trusted me. He still fears me. How many people will go through troubles and trials, and the first thing that happens is they stop coming to church? Praise the Lord. Amen. There's some people, the moment they start going through stuff, the first thing, and the devil is very clever about that, the first thing the devil will do is, it will make you get to a point where you are away from where you can get your deliverance. Somebody following this? I said, we're going to teach this for 4 weeks now. Satan answered God again. Said, God, for skin. Honestly, you know, it's very interesting to read that book. You see God and Satan dialoguing and talking about one individual. God was telling Satan, listen, I know my son, he won't do it now. God was so confident that Job would still be a perfect and upright, regardless of what. God was so confident. And because of the confidence God had in Job, God allowed the trials to come to the life of Job. Because Job never knew it was Satan that was doing it. Mm-mm-mm. Remember, he didn't know. It was God and Satan that was talking. Job was not privy to it. All he saw was that things just started to happen. Satan said, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. God, listen. Yes, he can lose all the stuff, but his life. Hello? Isn't that what happens? People can give anything for anybody, but when it comes to life, nobody. You have people say, nobody wants to die, you. Well, you're on your own. The Lord said, verse 5, Satan said, but put forth your hand now, touch his bone and his flesh. God, he will cause you to your face, Jari. Stop. Satan was telling God, stop making yourself happy and think that, he just trusts you because you are a sovereign God. In essence, I think we talked about this last Sunday. In essence, what Satan was doing was he was challenging the sovereignty of God. Listen. Satan was not after Job per se. Hello? He was not after Job per se. Because it was God who said, have you seen my servant Job? So all Satan was after, whatever he wanted to do, was to question the sovereignty of God. Listen, God, you are not that great God that people should fear you. You are not a great God that people should respect you. They are just respecting you because you bless you. I told you about the area boys in Nigeria. You've been to Nigeria, if you know the area boys, man, you give them money. The moment they say, hey, father. Praise the Lord. They kind of watch over your stuff. Why? Because you are giving them something. So. God said, I want to show you that I'm a sovereign God. But in the process of God showing Satan that he was a sovereign God, Job had to go through stuff. Are you following this? And the Lord said to Satan, verse 6, behold, he's in your hand, though. Do whatever you want, save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, verse 7, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, meaning of Job's body had boils that were sore. And he took him a poster to scrape himself. He was so bad, Job had to begin to scrape himself. And he sat down among the ashes. So, Job's wife now comes to him. Job. This God that you go to every Tuesday and Friday. This God that if I tell you to do something, you say, I have something to do at church, I'm going. This God that you serve every day, this God you sacrifice to. Job, the Bible said Job will make sacrifices on behalf of his children, on behalf of each of them every single day. Meaning, Job had to make 10 sacrifices every single day. His wife came. Honey. Wow. Look at you. How many of you know that sometimes when we go through challenges, the first thing people say is, I thought you said you are a church monk. You are a church God. Look at you. A wealthy man, you are nothing. The Bible said, she said something. She said, you still hold fast. Despite everything that has happened to Job, he did not say, God, forget you. What have you done for me lately? You know, many of us, the way we deal with God is like that song, "What have you done for me lately?" You know, we serve God based on what he has done for us lately. Or we serve God based on what we are looking for him to do in the next week. You know, we have that application somewhere. And they are going to sit on it on next Monday. So you have calculated it. You come to church 2 weeks ago. You come to Tuesday Bible study. Friday prayer meeting. You come to a game. That's when all your the tithes, you pay your tithes, everything. And you begin to say, "God, you know, I shall pay this tithe next Monday. Next Monday, oh God. June 17, June 18. I'm doing this so." His wife said, "You still retain your integrity? This same God that could not save you when all your children died. This God who could not stop calamity from coming to your life." He said, "You still hold fast to this." He said, "Curse God. Maybe people will die anyway. Curse God and die." Job said. Job said. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." He didn't necessarily call her a foolish woman. Praise the Lord. You know, there are some people, when they say something, they are not really foolish. They just talk like foolish people. Praise the Lord. So that means Job is not even, he don't even go and just begin to fight the woman. You must be crazy. Get out of my face. He said, "Listen, I know it's not you talking. It's the foolishness in you that is talking. So, you know, I have no business with you." He now said something. He said, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" He now said, "In all." In all this, all what? In all him losing everything he had. In all him losing his children. In all him sitting down in boils and you know, he said, Job did not sin with his what? Remember, when we were teaching about Shibboleth about a month or so ago, when we talk about what you say out is always a product of what is in your heart. So when the Bible said Job did not sin with his lips, that means his heart did not even think about it at all. So Job never thought of, you know, "God, why did this happen to me?" But let me begin to bring it down with the introduction. So the Bible said his friends now came. They saw him. He was so bad. They sat with him, Pastor, for 7 days. They could not say a word. Have you ever gone to someone who is going through something, and you get there, just couldn't say a word? Not that you don't have anything to say, but it's like, okay, where do I begin to talk? Listen, not say for 7 days, not for 7 minutes, not for 7 hours, not for 7 weeks. Said for 7 days. They did not say a word. Job now said something. In chapter 3, he now begin to curse the day he was born. He said, "Cursed be the day I was born. Cursed be everyone that said, 'Ah, congratulations, you had a baby.'" He even cursed the day his mother and father conceived. But the question is, why do the righteous suffer? So let's begin to answer the question. We saw the life of Job. I'm saying he did not curse God. As a matter of fact, what he did was he got down and he even worshipped God. So the question becomes, why is it we go through what we go through? Let's begin to bring some. Number one, sin Sometimes God will allow us to suffer trials in order to humble us. Praise the Lord. Many of us, we need to get to a point where God needs to humble us. Amen. If you have not gone through challenges and trials in life, sometimes we will not know how to be humble. When God begins to see that, we are getting to a point where we begin to overestimate ourselves. Oh, don't worry, nothing can happen. There are some people, they have what I call a spiritual pride. Hello? Us, nothing can happen to us now. You know, I come to church every day. Hello? You know, we're like that. You know, remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican? We're like that Pharisee. Yeah, we come to church, but we have the spirit of Pharisee in us. The spirit that says, God, look at me. I'm a tighter. Bless God for that. As a matter of fact, the moment the pastor says, want to do something for the building, I'm the first person to write my check. Bless God for that. Hello? Where I grew up, some people, when you tell them, they say, so when then, after that? You've heard that statement before. Sometimes we need to get in on ourselves. You know, the Bible says something, I believe in the book of Romans, it says, what is it that you have that is not from God? It's, don't begin to overestimate yourself. That's why Romans chapter 12, it says, do not let anyone think more highly than he ought to. The Bible says, if you think, he that thinketh, not he that is standing. There's a difference in you actually standing or actually thinking that you are standing. It says, he that thinketh that he standeth. It says, be careful so you know what? You don't fall down sometimes. God will let you go through trials to humble you and know that you are not all that. Listen, I always tell us, we are here today because it's the grace of God. Not because we can pray better than anybody. Because for every one of us that are here, there are hundreds of thousands of people who can pray better than we can pray. Hello, somebody. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's begin to read something. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Bible says all the commandments. I'm verse 1 now. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember, watch that now, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee this 40 years in the wilderness. You know, I believe was it late last year, we did a series of teachings on tests every Christian must pass. One of the first ones is that you have to pass what I call a wilderness test. Amen? So it says, remember how God took you through the wilderness. Now said, what was number one? To humble. Listen. When we go through stuff in life, some things will humble us. I think it was in February, I was in Tampa. I met a man, a pastor. He works for Central Bank of Nigeria. One of the top executives. So he came to the prayer meeting that the program I went to. The man was sick. He had some form of a rare blood disorder, that a very robust man had shrunk. They had to fly him straight from Nigeria to the U.S. The man was sharing with me as we were getting ready to pray. He said, Pastor, sometimes I'll have no strength, and if I need to pee, I'll just pee where am I? and I will pass fishes where I'm at. And my wife will have to just begin to clean me. He said, Pastor, when I was in Nigeria, if I cough, 15 people will answer, oh, guys, everything okay? But he was now someone that he needed help to go to the restroom. Thank God he's okay too. But he was sharing with me. You know, Pastor said something when Pastor first spoke. He said he has a new perspective. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you go through some stuff in life, God sometimes wants to use some things to humble us. Because sometimes we think that we are invisible. We think that we are all that. We think, you know what, that can't happen to me. Oh, I'm sorry it happened to her, but no. I'm well insulated from that. No one is insulated or immune from trial. Hello? So God uses trials, temptation, number one, to do what? To humble us. Number two, it says, remember God led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to, come on now, what is that next word? To prove. Listen, you don't know a man until the man has gone through some trial. Listen, God will allow us to go through suffering because he wants to prove us. And now, listen, when you go further, he says, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart. God will allow us to go through trials and suffering because he wants to humble us, number one. Number two, because he wants to what? Prove. All God wanted to do with Job was, he wanted to prove with Job. Okay, listen, Satan, you think that he's going to cross me? He's going to prove that he won't cross me. He wants to see what is in our heart. Because sometimes when we go through trials, that is what is really in our heart shows up. He says, to prove you, to see what was in your heart. Another word for proving there is to test us. Sometimes God will allow us to go through that because he wants to test us. Now, there are several tests he may want to test us. He may want to test our obedience. Many a times, that's where it starts. When we disobey God. I've told you many times that God is always waiting for us at the place of last obedience. So that means if you obeyed God, if 10 years ago is when you obeyed God last, God is waiting for you there. Whatever you do between that 10 years, you see that there's no success there until you come back to that place and say, God, I'm ready to obey you again. No? Then God says, okay, let's go. God wants to humble us. He wants to prove us. Listen, as a Christian, you know, that's what the Bible said in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, consider it pure joy. Oh, let me, before I get to that. So, number one is to what? To humble us. Number two is to, number three. God will allow us to go through trials because he wants to build us up. Praise the Lord. You've already said, no pain, no gain. You know, if you are someone that goes to the gym, amen. No, I see that my young tech guys, they're doing that to me in the back then. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw one of them last week in their graduation, Davidson. I saw him. Boy, you don't. And I touched the thing was rock. You know, it's not Jebele, guys. It's the guy built up, you know. You know, I look at him, I've been trying to do the same thing. So, I said, so what do you do? He said, Pastor, go to gym. I said, which one? He said, fitness zone. How long? Oh, sometimes 2 hours. I said, 2 hours. After, 2 hours to do pumping iron. Ah. Amen. You see all of them. You know, a few years ago, they were this little tiny boy. Now they are all these things. Amen. It didn't come like that. There was pain involved in it. You know, last week I tried to do one. Amen. I do an arm curl for 4 days. This place was paining me. Since then, I haven't gone anywhere. Praise the Lord. The athletes that are preparing for the Olympics, you think that they just wake up one and say, you know, I'm going to go run in the Olympics. No, it took what? Years of what? Training. Many of you are in a professional career. Part of no pain, no gain is that you had to do what? Some of you, sleepless nights. You know, you are studying, you know. We think you are studying, but, you know, the book is in your hand. You know, and you are just gone. Why? Because there's something you are chasing. Sometimes God uses tribulation and challenges to build us up. To build up our endurance in Him. To build up our faith in Him. Praise the Lord. Because listen, if you have not gone through stuff, you don't know how much you can endure. You have to try first. Let me go back to working out and stuff like that. One day my trainer said, I should come and bench press 100 pounds. The guy took the thing. He went up like this. You know what? When I said, no. I didn't know I couldn't do it until I tried it. Praise the Lord. Testing and trials. God uses it to build us up, spiritually. Many of us, we learn to pray because we went through stuff. Anyway, hello, somebody. I was in a program one day, pastor. The pastor was saying, everybody begin to thank God for the struggles you are facing. You know, I first looked at him and said, I'm waiting for this now, this prayer can't end. You know, he now began to explain to many of you, you won't know Christ until you have gone through some stuff. Praise the Lord. Trials builds up our spiritual muscles. Jesus even said, he said, in this world, you have what? Trouble. You have tribulation. Job, in many instances, he said, a man that is born of a woman is of few years and is born into trouble. I told you last week, the day a baby is born, the day they say, the baby is in trouble already. Amen. As a matter of fact, the day a baby is conceived, trouble don't start. That's why many people, pastor, they had the pregnancy. I don't want to make nobody know. Amen. Let me round up. I want to read some scriptures here. Go to the book of James. Let's read James quickly, and I'm going to close on this. Next week we'll continue. Don't forget, I said this is going to be for 4 weeks. So when you are going through whatever you are going through, don't begin to lose heart and say, God, where is your face? God's face is not anywhere. He's there with you. You just need to know why you are going through. Look at James chapter 1. The Bible says, brethren, James chapter 1 verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. There's a difference between trials and temptations, though. This word temptation is used interchangeably for trials. Let me tell you two different things. The devil used temptations to bring us down. But God uses trials to build us up. Amen. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen, if you are going through stuff, you have to be patient. Hello? He now says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Meaning that you must be patient enough for patience to do the work of patience. Did you catch that? Amen. You must have enough what? Patience. So that patience can do what? The work of, and before I tell you be patient, that means, you know what? You know, a friend of mine one time said, slow your roll. Let me use the language of my teenage guy. When they tell you, slow your roll. Amen? Listen, you know, there's a saying where I grew up. They say that God, if God says, I'm coming. It may not be, it can be 3 months, it can be 3 years, or it can be 3 decades. But if you say, I'm coming. What are you supposed to do? You wait. That's what the Bible says. But those that what? That wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall renew their strength. Because why? God knows that the moment you are waiting, the more you wait, the more strength you need. And the more you wait, the more strength you need, the more God renews the strength. Because the strength of yesterday may not be enough for the strength of today. That is why you must wait. Amen. It says, let, you know, patience. Complete everything he needs to do. Because, listen, the thing about God is this. God will not do some things for you if you are not ready for it. Praise the Lord. The next week I'll go through briefly those several tests you have to go through. One of them is a test of time. Praise the Lord. Listen, it takes time for our blessings to unfold. And it takes time for God to prepare us for our blessing. Everything takes time. If a baby that was born today, I told you last week, well, maybe not last week. One of our sisters, Sister Bibian, gave birth this past Thursday. So if you want to go name the baby on Thursday, and the baby is the one that is calling, greeting us, Pastor, how are you? Praise the Lord. I'll be the first person to pick race. I'll be like, this one, no, this is no miracle. You know why? Because it is not time. Says, let patience have his work. So that you can be complete. Because listen, if you don't let patience take his course, if you are not patient for God in your times of trial, if you rush out of it, guess what? You rush back. Because some things you need to learn, you have not learned. Go to Romans. And I'm going to close on that. Oh, is somebody getting blessed by this word this morning? Watch this. This church, all we teach is the word. Praise the Lord. It's the word. Okay, let me start reading from verse 1. Watch this now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'm in verse 1 now. Okay, it's up there now. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? There is a colon right there. I've taught you that, to look at tenses when you read the scriptures. So, whatever it is that you will see after this, will reference the first verse. So, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, who is the whom there? Come on, now, who is the whom? Come on, say it like a minute. By whom? We have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. It said the trials you are going through is because there's a glory that is yet to be revealed. Watch this now. Watch this. The Bible says, and not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulation. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? What's that word again? But before we get to that, it says we glory in tribulation, meaning that when tribulation comes, it's something we should accept and say, wow, this is good. Because why? The tribulation works what? Patience. Another translation says, tribulation will produce perseverance, endurance, patience. Watch this now. Watch this. And then patience will produce experience. Listen, you cannot say you are experienced at something if you have not gone through it before. Hello, somebody. Oh, no, listen, if you are trying to counsel somebody and say, don't worry, God will do it. You have to show by experience that you have been in that place before where nobody was there, but God showed up for you. You have to have been in that place when your doctor said you have cancer, but God healed you. Then you can tell another person, because the God that healed me, the God that did it for me, he says he will do it for you as well. Why? Because you are speaking from experience.
Hallelujah.
It says patience produces experience. It now says experience produces hope. Why don't we give up in trials? Because we have, oh, come on now. Hello? Why? Despite what anybody tells you, you still have. Why did Job didn't give up? Job did not give up because he had hope. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, if he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Job had hope. He said, though he slay me, yet will I follow him. Because he had hope. Watch this. Watch this. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Hope. It's because you have hope that you are still praying. Amen. And hope is the substance of the faith that you need to carry you through. The Bible says faith, now faith is, now faith is, now faith is. The substance of what? Oh, the substance of what? Where did the hope come from? The hope came from experience. Where did the experience come from? It came from patience. Where did the patience come from? It came from what? The tribulation. Amen, somebody. So listen. That challenge is not going to overcome you. It's there because God wants to humble you. He wants to prove you. He wants to see what was in your heart. He wants to build you up. That's why you must not give up hope. A hopeless man is a helpless man. The hope we have is in Christ. And he says, another translation says, the hope, that hope that we have is a hope that is never disappointed. First Corinthians chapter 10. Is somebody getting something today? First Corinthians chapter 10. And it says, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you have your Bibles, open it, open it, open it, open it. And we're closing there. Bible says, but there are no temptations taking you, such that is common to man. That means there's nothing you are going through. There is no. Oh, let me preach my message now. You think you are going through challenges, eh? It has happened before. Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. Listen. If someone begins to tell you what they are going through, if someone begins to tell you what they have gone through, you will just be quiet and say, God, you know what, mine. You know, where I grew up, they say something. They said, if you have not seen another man's farm, You would think your own farm was the biggest one. If someone told you what they've went through for them to be here, that is why you must not judge or condemn anybody, because you don't know where they were coming from. You don't know their history. That is why you just need to thank God for the grace of God upon your life, knowing that whatever you are going through is able to take you out of it. He says, oh, because of my time. He says, there are no temptation taking you such that is common to man. Watch this. It says, but your God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to? That means, Pastor, if God does not know you can beat that thing, He won't. Oh, amen, somebody. Whatever challenges you are going through, if God knows that you don't have the fortitude to go through it, He says He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to comprehend. Because when you begin to go beyond what you can comprehend, that is when you begin to say, God, I don't think I have faith in you anymore. I don't think I have trust in you anymore. He now says, but with the temptation, out of that challenges, out of that financial struggles, out of that health struggles, out of that baby struggles, out of that family struggles, oh, the Bible says, my God, it will make a way of escape out of it, so that you'll be able to bear it. That is why the problems have not broken you. Amen. That is why, you know, they say something bends and cannot break. You can bend and bend and bend, but you are not broken. You know why? Because God is faithful. Why don't you put your trust in Him? Praise the Lord. Trust in His sovereignty. Trust in His power to take you out. There's nothing you are going through that your God cannot do. Listen, our God is able to do more. Oh, I preached a message 3 weeks ago in Jacksonville that God is able to do more than before. Oh, what you thought He has done before, He's able to do more than it for you. He said, our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we want, we hope for, according to the power. There's a power that works in you. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than the power that is in the world. Greater is the God that you serve. Greater is the God that you call upon. That's the God that says, call upon me in the day of trouble. He says, I will answer you and you will glorify my name. He says, is there anything too difficult for Him? I don't know what they've told you cannot do. I don't know what they've said it was difficult for you. I'm here to announce to you today that it's not difficult for your God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Wait upon the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount like wings, like an eagle. They shall run and they shall not be weary. The problem will not overcome you. The Bible says, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is able to take care of it. Don't give up. Don't give up. He's just using that to humble you. He's not using that to prove you. God is just using that to build you up. Don't get bitter at anybody. Because when the rubber meets the road, the people that you thought should be there for you, they will be the first one to leave you. They will leave you because there's nothing they can do. And they don't want you to know that there's nothing they can do. So that they don't look bad in your sight. But when everybody deserts you, I want you to know that your God is there for you. He says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. He says, when you pass through the fire, when you pass through the rivers, none of it will overcome you, because he is there for you like a mighty warrior. You are coming forth as gold. Remember, as I close, many of you are wearing precious jewelry and gold. It didn't used to be that pretty. They took it from the ground. And when they took it from the ground, it was rough. It was slimy. It was dirty. But it had to go through fire. Many of you, whatever you are going through right now, you are just going through a refiner's fire. Because God wants to refine you. God wants to make you. He wants to shape you to his own way. So don't give up. You are coming forth as gold. Stand up on your feet. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, lift your hands to heaven. Just begin to thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you for all these challenges I'm going through, because you are using it to build me up, because you are using it to humble me. Yes, begin to thank him. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Oh, because you are using these challenges to build me up. Oh, to build me up. To test me. To test me. Well, begin to bless him. Say, Lord, I just thank you. And begin to pray. Say, Lord, the strength to carry on. The strength to carry on. Lord, give it to me. In the mighty name of Jesus. The strength to go on. Well, begin to pray. Begin to pray. The strength, the strength, the strength. Say, Lord. Oh, yes, begin to pray. Begin to pray. The Bible says, if you faint in the time of adversity, you say, your strength is weak. Say, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me. Help me to remain faithful in you. To remain strong in you. Even in times of trials. In times of tribulation. Oh, pray, pray, pray. Speak unto God. Speak unto God. Speak unto God. Speak unto God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of knowing you. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for the trying times. We thank you for bad times. Because the bad times, oh God, only prove your sovereignty. To show to us that, God, there are people who can still trust you, even in spite of what we go through. Father, we thank you for the bunch of people that we have here today. People who are going through and yet they are here trusting you. Father God, we speak like Job that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust you. Because my joy and my breakthrough does not come from any man. My breakthrough cometh from God Almighty. Father, we thank you for the woman, oh God, the Syrophoenician woman, whose son died, oh God, and she took a saddle on a horse, and she went to the man of God. Everybody was asking her, what is going on? He said, it is well. Because nobody had a solution to her problem. Nobody needs to know what her problem was. She went to the man of God, and the moment she got to the man of God, the Bible says she fell on her feet. She head onto the man and said, that baby you gave me, I never asked for the baby, but you gave me, the baby is dead. She knew that the man of God can do something about her situation. She didn't tell nobody, but she told the man of God. I pray in the name of Jesus in this house, every problem, every trial, as we bring it to Jesus, he is the one that can answer the problem. He is the one that can solve the problem. He is the one that can heal the sick. He is the one that can raise the dead. Let your miracle come today in the name of Jesus. Let your breakthrough come today in the name of Jesus. Let your breakthrough come today in the name of Jesus. Let your breakthrough come today in the name of Jesus. The man of God has taught us the reason why the righteous suffer. The righteous suffer because they ought to be better. They suffer because they ought to be pruned. They suffer because they ought to be humbled to become more like Jesus. Job, God, we know it in the Bible. He said he was a perfect man. He was an upright man. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that eschewed evil. God was to take him to another level because the children he had eventually were better than the ones he had before. The animals he had before, the ones he had eventually were better than the ones he had before. Let God begin to double your blessing. Let God begin to multiply your glory. In the name of Jesus, the things you thought you have lost, I pray that God will give you double for your trouble. In the name of Jesus, the one that have looked down on you, they will begin to look up at you. The one that you have begged, they will begin to beg you. The one that you have borrowed from, they will begin to borrow from you. In the name of Jesus. We will not walk out that door the same. Our lives will never remain the same. Though our friends may come to us and think because of the trials we go through that we may have sinned against God. Father God, our chest will be raised up high to say to them that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because I know that my latter end shall be more glorious than my former. I pray, God, that the things you have lost will not be compared to the things you shall acquire. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to CSC Church here in Texas. I speak to you in Dallas that you shall acquire more. In the name of Jesus. Every restriction, every opposition to your life, I pray it's just a stepping stone to the glory that God is about to release. In the name of Jesus. I speak prosperity on this ground. I speak blessing on this ground. I speak glory on this ground. I say men shall testify to God's goodness. In the name of Jesus, I speak increase on this ground. In the name of Jesus, I speak favor on this ground. In the name of Jesus, I speak power on this ground. In the name of Jesus. And I speak to that weeping heart. Weep no more. When you leave this room today, it has been given to all but not me. Yours is on the way. Have you ever been to McDonald's? The Holy Ghost is saying to me that when you go there and you ask for what is not in the menu, they ask you to pack because it's a special order. I speak to you today that your own is a special order. And your order is about to be completed. Don't quit in the faith. Your patience is about to be perfected. And men will see you and give glory to God. In the name of Jesus. I need somebody to lift their voice and give the Lord praise for the miracle that God has already given you. If you know God has been good to you in this house, if you know God has released a blessing upon your life, lift your voice and give him some praise. Give the Lord some glory. Give the Lord some praise. He alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy of our glory. Thank you, Jesus.